57 school districts have referendums up for consideration in tomorrow's election. Coming up, we'll talk to an education reporter about what these referendums are and why there are so many of them. First, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, informally known as Obamacare, just celebrated its fifth anniversary a few weeks ago. But some experts say provisions included in the law have added to the list of disadvantages that rural hospitals face. For a look at how rural hospitals are doing, we turn to a couple of guests. First, Maggie Elawani is with us. She's the Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Rural Health Association. Maggie, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
And we also have Tim Size with us. He's the Executive Director of the Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative. Tim, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Maggie, let's start with you. On a national level, how are rural hospitals doing?
On a national level, rural hospitals are receiving probably the greatest challenges they've had since their existence. We went through a very tough time in the 80s and early 90s when Congress changed the payment system for rural hospitals to something called the prospective payment system, kind of a volume-based system. It didn't work for small rural hospitals. We saw 400 rural hospitals close across the country. That was a tremendous crisis. We're at the beginning of a crisis that is just as significant, if not more significant now. We've seen 48 rural hospitals close since 2010, but really what we have is another 283 that are on the verge of closing because of provisions in the ACA, but because of a whole host of other provisions, largely enforced by Congress and also the administration. So it's an incredibly challenging time for rural hospitals.
Give us some background there. You'd think that after, if there were some significant crises in the 80s and 90s, we might have learned to do something differently. But what might be at play today that might be contributing to these more significant challenges that you talk about?
Well, Congress, I think, does like to do the right thing, but they're so slow in doing the right thing. So Congress slowly reacted to those 400 rural hospitals that closed, forcing many rural patients, obviously, to be without their local access to care in a local emergency room. And they created kind of these unique payments for small rural hospitals to keep their doors open. The most significant of those payments was in 1997 Balanced Budget Act, and that was the creation of the Critical Access Hospital. Very small hospitals, 25 beds or fewer, and it gave them slightly enhanced payments to make sure they were able to keep their doors open. Well, because of so many different types of cuts and, again, challenges to that critical access hospitals, a lot of folks, members of Congress and other bodies that advise Congress calling for cuts to those hospitals, we think it's because they really don't understand the importance of the payment structure of those hospitals. But nevertheless, those cuts are being called for, challenging those hospitals. Really think that that's going to cause many, many more closures. Congress, again, slowly reacts to this and slowly reacts to really changes in health care. That was based on kind of the inpatient days that a patient has. We know that medicine has really evolved in the last couple of decades for certain, and really what is needed maybe not be that many inpatient bed days, but just some good quality primary care. Wisconsin is a great example of where they're figuring out ways to do great quality primary care in rural communities. Other parts of the country are really struggling. Some of the poorest areas of the country, populations in the Deep South and in Appalachia, certain parts of the West, that's where we're seeing a lot of these hospital closures.
And Tim, let's bring the focus closer to Wisconsin for just a moment. How are rural hospitals doing in the state?
Well, first I want to say at a national level, I totally agree with Maggie. The Medicare program has become, for too many rural hospitals, death by a thousand cuts. And part of it's the Accountable Care Act, Obamacare, but it's also other laws that have been in place. There's, in Wisconsin, we're a little bit different story. We have hospitals that are challenged. I don't think to the same proportion as the country as a whole. In fact, I'd go even further to say we have a lot to celebrate in Wisconsin. And let me just share a few facts. 15 of the top performing 100 rural hospitals in the country are in Wisconsin. So that's four times that found in the average state, four times greater. Wisconsin is one of three states with large rural populations that stands head and shoulders above other states when you look at Medicare's rating for patient outcomes and experience. And when you look at our own University of Wisconsin County Health Rankings, just came out a couple weeks ago, we have a lot of work still to do, but rural counties are actually doing better than predicted. So we are facing many of the same challenges that Maggie mentioned. In a minute, I can add to that list of challenges. But in fact, rural hospitals are, as a group, are strong in Wisconsin.
Why is Wisconsin standing out above some of these other states in terms of success?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think there's a tradition of collaboration in the upper Midwest. So you look at Minnesota, northern Iowa, Wisconsin, we tend to look good. There is a tradition of multi-specialty clinic systems, both within rural communities and amongst rural communities. We have a strong hospital association. We have a strong cooperative, who I work for, of 39 rural hospitals. We were early into asking the questions about how we can get more team-related care, how we can focus more on value, how we can focus more on the health of the community. And frankly, some other variables that we can't claim credit for, but just simply rural communities in Wisconsin in general are economically stronger than communities in parts of the South and the West. And since healthcare is very much not only what healthcare providers do, but it's a function of the level of education, the level of jobs, we start a little bit ahead of the game.
I'm Cynthia Schuster. This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with two experts on the state of rural hospitals as the Affordable Care Act celebrates its fifth anniversary. That's Tim Size. He's executive director of the Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative. And we're also talking with Maggie Alawani. She is the vice president of government affairs for the National Rural Health Association. And Maggie, looking specifically at the Affordable Care Act, how have those changes specifically impacted rural hospitals in the way that they operate?
Sure. There was a lot of positives for rural health care, for rural patients that were included when the Affordable Care Act was drafted. Unfortunately, many of those provisions were never fully funded or funded at all by Congress. So it's important to look back at the two big issues we're talking here. What we're talking about are the disparities among rural populations. They are generally older, poorer, and sicker per capita. It's also incredibly important to remember what that rural hospital, the impact that that rural hospital has, not only for the patients in that community, but for the whole rural economy. The hospital is usually the largest or second largest employer, provides a tremendous revenue, and generates much of the economic engine of a rural community, let alone attracts businesses to the community or helps families and retirees stay there. So when you look at that importance and you look at what happens when one of those facilities closes, what we're seeing by these hospital closings and the potential of nearly 300 closing are creating these medical deserts across the country. So what happened in the Affordable Care Act was there were provisions to help some of these challenges in rural areas, to help improve workforce issues, to help enhance certain payments. Again, a lot of those weren't funded, but some of the negatives for healthcare providers, some cuts in Medicare reimbursement rates were absolutely included in the Affordable Care Act as a way to pay for the overall price tag of the bill. So what happens is these dish cuts affect a lot of the rural prospective payment hospitals, these small rural, a little bit better than bigger than the 25-bed hospitals. It hits them and says that because we expect you folks to have a lot more of your paying customers because people have insurance now, we're going to assume that you don't have as much of uncompensated care and you're not providing as much. And so it's really hitting a lot of these small rural hospitals that have the narrowest, operate on the narrowest of financial margins. What we're seeing in a lot of the states, especially those states that haven't expanded Medicaid, they took the Supreme Court up on their offer to choose not to expand Medicaid. We're seeing a lot of these large uninsured areas where these people get sick, have to show up in an emergency room. Maybe they could have had health care under the ACA, but they don't. They still show up in the emergency room where they're, you know, their most expensive way to provide primary care in many cases.
Right.
And
Tim,
that's really detrimental on these hospitals.
Tim, in our final minute here, how important are rural hospitals, or what are you doing specifically with Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative to help these hospitals manage the challenges ahead of them?
Well, the co-op, it is a cooperative, just like in Wisconsin, so familiar with. So we actually work for them and with them. And the cooperative is the rural hospitals supporting each other. We're working across the board. We talked a lot about Medicare. There's a whole host of issues around Medicaid that affect their financial health, and we're grateful for the legislature for the dollars they're putting in this session. We're working with the insurance commissioner in terms of issues around network adequacy, and that basically is fancy language for who health insurers will contract or non-contract with. And there are more and more cases where insurers are not contracting because they're trying to create a very narrow network. We're working in workforce. Baby boomers are retiring out of being caregivers into being patients, and that creates a particular challenge in rural Wisconsin because it's an older population. I can go down a longer list, but well, you've only got so much time.
It's true. Thank you so much for being with us, Maggie and Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Tim. Maggie Alwani, she's Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Rural Health Association, and Tim Sides, he's Executive Director of the Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative. They were talking to us about the state of rural hospitals following the implementation of the Affordable Care Act.